Such a glorious book. It's a glorious book. Philippians. Philippians is such a glorious book. We've done 8 classes on it so far. This is number 9. And I'm going to read from Philippians 2, 1 through about 9 or 10 in the Amplified Bible before we go into the Greek. The Greek is beautiful. There are words here that are used no place else in the New Testament. Singularly, because Paul used Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 1. Because Paul was using, he was a well-educated man. He read Homer and Pluto and all of these are Plato. And he was familiar with some words that were very rare, and Paul used them here in this book. I mean, this book is filled full of rare words in Greek to try to exalt Christ, to try to exalt him, to magnify him. I always try to do that. We can brag on Jesus always and never go wrong. You brag on Jesus, you'll never go wrong unless you're a Muslim or a Jehovah's Witness or a Catholic, etc. Now, I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible, but I want to go back and read some from King James, because I've got both parallel here. 2:1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And it is beautiful in Greek, as one soul. We're one soul. The mingling of souls, the souls touching one another. So by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassion and sympathy we share. Fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. Do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness and strife, selfishness for unworthy ends, are prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than or superior to themselves, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourself. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be convinced for not merely his own interest, but also each for the interest of others. I put something on Facebook the other day. It says you don't go to church to get filled up, fill up your spiritual tank. You don't go to church to feel good. You don't go to church to be all excited, but you go to church to glorify God and learn of him. And in a certain way, fill up your tank, but not selfishly, but be so inspired and filled with the Word of God that you just got to overflows into your everyday life. It says here, let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, and that is quite an example, as we'll see. who, although being essentially one with God, and in the form of God, in the very essence of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, possessing the fullness of the attitudes and attributes which make God God, do not think this equality with God was something to be eagerly grasped or attained. And it doesn't say that. In Greek, it says something that to be held on to. To be held on to. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed upon him the name that is above every other name, every other name. The Father didn't become flesh, only in the Son. The Holy Spirit didn't become flesh, but only in the Son. The Son is highly exalted above all. Now let's go back and look at it in Greek. We're going to start with number... Let's go back with number 6. Deity tasting death, that we might have life. Deity tasting death, that we might have life. The humility of Christ that voluntarily humbled himself to redeem us, become our kinsman redeemer, to be of our blood, so to speak. Christ had the same blood that Adam had in him, but without sin. God didn't put any sinning blood in Adam. The blood that God put into Adam was a sinless blood, but Adam, when he sinned, he changed the chemistry of the blood to where we all are now recipients of that morphe, harmartia, of that similitude of the blood of Adam. Verse number 6 says, Hos morphe theo hiparkon uk harpagmon egesato to ene isa theu. It's in the form of God, constantly being. Christ did not cease being God when he came to earth in flesh. He didn't cease being God. He's still God's Son. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, they did not experience, except through Christ, that humility, that subordination that Christ felt. And us, we, as we look at the divine attributes of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we experience, to some extent, the mind, the body, and the soul of man. The mind, the body, and the soul. Can you imagine, if your furthest imagination, that you were God in all glory forever, and you created an earth, and you created a universe, and you created a race of mankind, that you would make yourself known to the whole universe from eternity to eternity. Make yourself known to the whole universe from eternity to eternity. Up here, let me get this map out here in front of the screen. Here we have eternity future, we have eternity past. In eternity past, God planned all of this. But Jesus, in eternity past, was full of glory. Everything worshiped him. Christ, Jehovah, in his form in eternity past, full of glory. Then all of a sudden, in John 1:14, Kai Hologo Sarxaganato, and the Word flesh he became, the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten God, full of grace and full of truth. And when we see that, we see Jesus having emptied himself of all glory, of all of that glory that he had before. What we might voluntarily humiliating himself to dwell completely in the flesh of one man in space and time. Can you even imagine that? But God did it. God stepped down and became dirt, basically. Adam is made from the same elements as the dirt is of the ground. He didn't come from it, but he's made from the same elements as it. And it says here, who, constantly existing in the very form, the very substance of God, he said he did not consider it robbery, harpagmon. And that word, agasato there, third person singular, first aorist indicative middle voice. He did not consider it. He did not calculate it. He did not deem it to be robbery. To be eternally equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Colossians, John, Revelation. We see all of this where we see Jesus Christ. Verse number 7 now. Allah, Eoton, Ekinousin, Morphain, Dulo, Labon, En, Hama, Homoi, Omati, Anthropon, Genomenos, Kai, Skemati, Urethes, Hos, Anthropos. That's number 7 now. He becomes our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. I wish I had my little whiteboard so I could write that down. But, strong adversative conjunction, page 15, by the way, in analytical Greek lexicon. But himself, that's a reflexive pronoun there. He himself, he poured out. He became he divested himself of that tremendous glory that everything around him worshipped him. Now, Satan always wants to be worshipped, doesn't he? Jesus was worshipped by all the angels. Jesus was worshipped eternally. Jesus was worshipped one time by Satan. In eternity past. Yeah, what we now call Jesus, when I use the word Jesus, I'm talking about the carnate form of Jehovah. But he had a pre-incarnate form in eternity past for eternity. You realize how beautiful and how voluntarily God took on humanity that he might redeem us. That's quite an act. That's quite a loving act. For God so loved the world, it says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He divested himself of all of the surrounding glory that he had in eternity past. Eternity past over here, Jesus, Jehovah in the flesh. Get this little wand up here. There, he had all glory forever. Eternity past was a long time, people. It's eternity. In eternity past, God planned And God decided that he was going to redeem a universe back to himself. He created a voluntary, volitional universe. You know that even, and I don't want to shake up the whole theological world, but animals have volition, don't they? They have souls. We know that from the Hebrew text. They have, what's the word for soul in Hebrew? Nephesh. They have nephesh. They have souls. They have spirit, and they have sarx. They have body. And they have this. So that every little animal in the world, every little animal, in some way brings glory to God. Every little animal. Every little animal brings glory to God in some way. I wrote a story one time called Animal Teachers. Animals are able to teach mankind something. A mother can learn from a mother hen, can't she, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. A mother can learn from a baby bird's mother. Mm-hmm. A mother can learn from a wolf or a coyote mother or a lion or a kitty cat. A mother can learn from them how that they sacrifice everything for the existence, for the love, for the what we might call furtherance of the species. Every animal, a mato, a bear. A bear is very strong, isn't it? Have you ever seen a mother grizzly or a mother black bear risk their lives and their well-being to protect their children, their little babies? They will risk their lives. A mother hen will do that. It teaches us how much God loves us. That he put his way, he put himself in harm's way for us. Can you imagine God becoming flesh for a time, in space and time, that Jesus Christ became flesh and became obedient unto the death of the cross? His blood was shed on the cross of Christ. He himself he poured out in the form of a slave, having received in the likeness of mankind. In the same way as mankind, he was mankind. He was man. God became mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. He felt hunger. He felt thirst. He felt heat. He felt cold. He felt betrayed. He felt love. He felt hate, didn't he? Did he not? Just read about, oh, ooh-ah, ooh-ah, ooh-ah. That's calamity. That's a calamity. That's the Greek word, calamity. Who are you Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites? Boy. In the likeness of mankind, having become nominee singular masculine, that genomenos, second aorist, participle, middle voice for himself. And also, and the schematic. We have the word schemati here. We got our English word schematic. You go and you get a schematic, you get a pattern. Now, Marilyn, I know that you have patterns that you kind of trace on cloth and you do some embroidering, is that what you call it? And you can make that and you have a pattern and then you use different colors. Mm-hmm. In the schematic. In the fashion. Having become, and in fashion, having been found as mankind. Jesus was born into the world, and he cried, probably. And he nursed his mother. He had an umbilical cord that had to be healed. He went through that physical pain. And then on the eighth day, according to Abraham, they took him down to the temple area and they circumcised him, which was not without pain. Now, I remember when I was a very small child, way back to birth almost. Some people can do that. You say, well, that's baloney. Just look it up. Google it. Some people do that. I can remember when I was in my first year of life, a lot of it. I remember when I was 2 years old, my father was killed when I was two. And I remember that time. I remember his grave. I remember my grandfather when he died. That was dramatic for me also. You remember these things. I know what years they were, you know, how old I was when this happened. I remember that. My father was in World War II with Patton. Rough. He came back and he was totally, had post-traumatic stress disorder. And it ended up killing him. It got him killed. I remember him screaming at nighttime. I didn't live with my mother and father very much, but when he was there, he went and got me and took me and put me in the house with him. My father never lived in the house after my sister was born. But before that, I remember that. And I was 2 years old when she was born. Jesus, I'm sure, remembered being circumcised. Have you ever thought how a child feels when it's going through the birth canal? Huh? Yeah. Do you think that you could go back in your subconscious and really live that over again? Possibly? Can you think of the Son of God coming down and being brought forth and birthed? It's not painless for the mother, as you know, mothers. But how painful is it for the child? In the very schematic, having been found as mankind, absolutely, Jehovah, Jesus, the eternal God, emptied himself of complete deity and glory, which he had always enjoyed, experienced. Every angel worshiped Jesus at one time. Did you know that? In eternity past. Every angel worshiped Jehovah in eternity past. Even Satan did until he rebelled. And then coming down to earth, when Satan tempted him, the one that Satan had to worship before, the one Satan had to bend the knee to before, and now he's tempting him because he's become like us. Having become in the schematic and having been found as mankind, we're of one blood. The whole human race is of one blood. Aren't we? That's what the Bible says. The whole human race is of one blood. The only difference between Jesus being of the same blood and we have is his blood did not have sin in it. Did not have sin in it. Having been found a human being, one of the human beings. Now among my people, my Native American people, I am Chickasaw, Brule Le Lakota, Santee Dakota, Ojibwe, Chickasaw, and Cherokee. And I'm 1/32nd Scots. On top of all of that. Among those people, when you went out as a young man and you killed an animal. You went out and you killed that animal. And you tasted that blood. First of all, if you killed that animal, many times they did not conquer the animal, but the animal had voluntarily given its life for them. And so the Eskimo, they give the seal a drink, or the whale or whatever they've killed, or the bear, they give it a drink, honoring its soul. And among the Anglo-Saxon people, it's quite a different act. It's not the same. They conquered it. They'll go kill a deer, a fox, a raccoon, a lion, a tiger, an elephant, and they will blood themselves. What's it called? Being blooded. They take the blood and they put it on the cheeks. Facing death unto the blood. Blooded, being blooded, is what they call. The American Indian, many times, they would take the liver, where all the blood is purified and everything, and they would eat the liver raw. They tasted the life of this animal, not drinking the blood, but eating the liver of that animal. And doing honor or respect and taking the heart of an animal and burying it. And looking at that animal not as a beast, but as a brother. How much they somehow had that tied up with Christ as our Savior, that obediently, beyond any reason. You know, the world out there doesn't understand God at all, do they? The atheists out there, no one atheist that just thinks God is the most ungodly, hateful beast that was ever created by the human mind. But he doesn't know this, does he? He doesn't know how God so loved what he created, his creation, that he gave his life for it. He tasted death for it. That's quite a, what we might call a condescension. Verse number 8. Eta panosin, iauton genomenos, hiperkos, mekri thanato, thanato, de staro. Jesus was blooded with his own blood. He humbled himself, having become obedient unto mekri thanatu, unto death. Death, moreover, death of the staro, of the cross, of the stake. The death. He was blooded, all right, blooded with his own blood. I don't know whether the Shroud of Turin is actually real or not. But they've looked at that. They say the person that was wrapped in that was actually crucified. He had about, over 400 lacerations. You can see where he had been stabbed in the heart, and the nail prints, and all of this. Now, if it is real, and I'm not saying it is one way or the other, there was a real man that really died just like that. But it was the Son of Man and the Son of God. He's our relative. All the Indians, the names Lakota, Dakota, Nakota, Chickasaw, Cherokee, all mean one thing, human beings. I think that's very, very beautiful to use that figure of speech in the Son of God. He's one of the human beings. He is blooded. Verse number 9, Dio Kai Ho Theos. Altun. Hiperox Musen. Kai Ikarasato. Alto. To Onoma. To Hiper Pan Onoma. Christ is exalted. And the verses that show how exalted he was is 2:9-11. Wherefore, dia also, ho theos, wherefore also the God of him, highly exalted. That means to push up and away. That's a word that Plato used. It's only used one time in the New Testament. Here it is. Hiperux osin. Up, up, and away. Beyond glory. And he gave to him, Ikarisato. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative middle voice. He gave for him, for himself. Volition. God did this voluntarily. And the name of the one above every other name. Matthew 28:18. Matthew 16:18. I know they say, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll be building my stone. You are Peter, but upon this rock I will be building my church. The rock is Christ. It's not Peter. Every name, in every name, every being in eternity will bow down to Jesus Christ. And that his name is above all names. What glory did Jesus take back to heaven that he didn't bring with him? What glory, what glorification did Jesus take back to heaven that he didn't bring with him? Well, he wasn't eternal, he wasn't flesh in heaven, was he, before? No. So when he became flesh, Kai ho logos sarx tegeneto, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. In verse number 18 of John, the first chapter, it says, no one has seen God at any time but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. So he led himself out of that eternal glory into space and time and in flesh, tangible flesh, flesh that could be touched. They said, we handled him, we heard him, we breathed upon him, he breathed upon us. We touched him. We saw him. We saw the soul in his eyes. God became flesh that he might redeem us from ourselves. When Jesus Christ went back to heaven, the eternal Son, he was not only the eternal glorified Son, but he's also the glorified eternal Son of Man now. The glorified Son of Man. Verse number 10. Hina. Ento onomati. Esu. Pan gani. Kamse. Eporon neon. Kai epi geon. Kai karax thonion. In order that, in the name or in the authority of the name, Matthew 28:18-20, of Jesus, every knee, each and every one may bow. Subjunctive mode. Compto. Each and one. So when Satan comes back before Jesus Christ, after he's been incarnated and raised from the dead, he will bow. As much as he hates it, he's going to bow. He's going to do it in the end time. It said, upon the heavens, directly up in the heavens, and upon the earth, and everyone in hell, every atheist will confess, and they will bend the knee toward our Savior and our God. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Please use it. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for planning this great sacrificial plan of salvation for us. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray.